Verse number 20 is one of those wonderful verses in the Bible that probably many of you have it committed to memory. And it's the text I want to preach on tonight. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What an amazing thing. What an amazing truth. I preached in the rest home this morning on Isaiah 53. I preached on the five things that God did for us, the five things that Jesus did. And I got to the first point was that he loved us so much, he was willing to bear all of those pains and troubles for us. And I thank the Lord that he did that. God did that for you and I. He paid the price. He paid a debt I could not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul here is reiterating this truth by saying, I'm crucified with Christ. Now, he didn't say, I am crucified after Christ. And he didn't say, I am crucified before Christ. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. I was right there on the cross where when Jesus died. I was crucified with him. What a thought. What an amazing thought. Now, in order to get the understanding of this verse, we have to always look at it in its context and understand the passage of Scripture. Can I tell you, a lot of cults and a lot of dangerous doctrines have been formed by taking Scripture out of its context. And the truth is that anybody with a fleshly mind can twist a Scripture to make it say anything that one would personally want it to say. But that's not how God intended us to understand his word. God intended for us to understand his word by giving us entire letters and an entire truths that gave us his truth. He gave us the whole book, didn't he? He gave us the whole thing. And so the passage of Scripture tonight is somewhat of an unusual background. I want to give you the background of what is going on in the passage of Scripture, and then, Lord willing, we'll get to this verse and tie the context together that God would have for us to see tonight. So here it is. It's a bit unusual, so stay with me. So what's going on is the Apostle Paul comes to the Apostle Peter in this passage of Scripture, and he confronts him with something that Peter is doing incorrectly. That's true. You know, Peter is really one of those amazing characters in Scripture. We see his faults, don't we? And God, when God gave us his word, he allowed us to see the faults of people because God reveals the imperfections of man, even in the Bible. God doesn't tell us they were perfect. Noah had imperfections. He did some things wrong. And Abraham, remember, he lied and told us that, or told them that Sarah was his sister, you know, and allowed... went into Hagar, and you know, throughout the Bible, we see the imperfections and the sins, and God allows us to see those imperfections because those imperfections help us to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's wonderful about seeing their imperfections is to know that God didn't reject them from their imperfections. God tried to teach them and grow them through their imperfections. And that's what's happening in this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul here, he comes to Peter in verse 11. Notice it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Now what happened? What's going on here? What's in this passage of Scripture? Well, here's what was going on. Peter, he lived, he was, of course, he was saved at this point, and he eats like a Gentile. In other words, he has given up the dietary laws of the Jews. Peter was a devout Jew before this, but he has given up the dietary laws, and he's eating now like a Gentile. Now, that's very significant because Peter's main outreach was in Jerusalem to the Jews in Jerusalem. So this is very, very interesting. Now, the Apostle Paul had a different calling, as you know. God called him to the Gentiles. And those were, that's the, anyone who really is not a Jew could be considered a Gentile in Scripture. You and me, we're Gentiles in the Lord. We're not Jewish blood. We're not Jewish born. We are Gentiles. So here's what the Apostle Peter was doing. He was, you know, he knew he was saved. But the problem with the Jews is that they believed the dietary laws were part of their salvation in Christ. In other words, if they ate the dietary law, and if they ate, you know, exactly what the dietary law said, then they were considered a good Jew, and a good Jew was considered a saved person. Now, that's a work salvation, isn't it? And the problem with the law is that you can't keep the whole law. And the Bible tells us that if you don't keep the part, if you let off following part of the law, then it's the same as if you disobeyed it in the whole. Okay? So what Peter was doing was something that was impossible to follow, but he would eat in front of the Jews. He would eat the dietary laws in front of the Jews. But now the problem is that when he would go to the Gentiles, he would kind of kowtow and be a little ashamed, and he would not eat with the Gentiles because he had Jewish people and Jewish followers and people that were close to him, maybe companions. Bible doesn't tell us who exactly they were, but Peter was doing this thing where he was forbidding to eat with the Gentiles who had given up, who didn't believe in the dietary laws, and this. You say, now, what is so important about what you're eating or how you eat? Well, you know, we don't have this issue today. I'm just, look at all of us. We're hogs. We eat everything. I mean, right? I mean, we're, you know, Brother Nathaniel, he got excited spiritually back there when I made that point. Amen? We eat everything. What you eat today is not an issue, right? We have different issues today. But back in Bible days, this issue was very important. Because if you were a Jew coming out of Judaism and you were saved, trusting, you would have to then relearn that you had to live by faith in God alone. And that the dietary laws were not necessary for salvation. And then even an issue came up where, should they eat food that was offered to idols? You know, it was offered to an idol, so should we eat it? You know, Paul made that thing clear, you know, everything is good if it be received with thanksgiving. Here's the point. The point is that when Jesus Christ died for us, we're saved by grace through faith alone. The works of the law are not any part of our salvation. There is a singleness of heart that needs to be there in our Christian life that is dedicated fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so here's this point that is arising by Peter. And you really have the Apostle Paul going to Peter, and he's confronting him face to face about this food issue and what he should do. And we don't see Peter rebuffing it. We don't see Peter saying anything. But for four verses, the Apostle Paul kind of chews the Apostle Peter out a little bit for not eating with the Gentiles around his Jewish friends or companions. So, Paul uses this as a moment to teach who we are in Christ. And what exactly are we to follow? And why is it that we don't do these things? Why is it that we allow some of these things to just be forgotten and go by? And then what is it that we are really to hold to and cling to? So Paul uses it as a teaching moment. And he's writing to the church of Galatia here. And we get to chapter 5 and 6 when it starts talking about the fruits of the Spirit and what comes forth when you're saved. By the way, there's a whole lot of things that the old man has that we should put away in our life. Amen? And there's a whole lot of new things, the fruit of the Spirit of God, that we got to allow God to let live in our heart and let God live through and in us. And so Paul takes this as an opportunity, really, to get the people, Peter, not just Peter, but also the church of Galatia, to have this understanding of what are we in Christ and how exactly are we to follow? If all these dietary laws and all these things don't matter anymore, what is it that we're going to cling to? What is it that we're going to hold to? And Paul defines it in the passage. Paul makes it really clear, and he makes it understandable to you and I. So let's look at it beginning with verse number 16. Notice what he says. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now notice he uses the word justify. Somebody once told me years ago, justified is a similar word to meaning as just as if I had never sinned. Justified. So when God looks at us and saves us, he buries those sins in the deepest sea. He remembers them no more. He covers them with his blood. He washes them in his blood. They're gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone, buried in the deepest sea, remembered no more by the almighty mind of God. They're gone. So he's saying, man is not justified by works. Works cannot make you what you ought to be. You're not justified that way. We are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even we have believed, verse 16, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, I know who I'm preaching to tonight. I know this audience does not believe you get saved by the works of the law. I know it. And most folks who are listening online, if you're listening online and you think that, can I tell you, that is not true. We are not justified by works. We are justified by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. But see, he's doing more than just explaining it. He's trying to get the principle in our heart and our mind. He's trying to let the principle that we are not saved by works, but that we live by faith. He's trying to ingrain this in us, both in Peter, them, and inspired by God in us, to understand that the faith of Christ in our hearts, as we allow God to live and as we allow God to die, as we die to ourself, we can allow the faith of Christ to live in us and live through us. So we come tonight to the text, the verse, verse 20. And the Apostle Paul uses this to make it so clear and make it understandable. And notice what he says, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Do you see death there? There's a death there, isn't there? He says, I'm dead. I died. This old man died with Christ on that cross. I'm dead. But notice what he said next. Nevertheless, I live. Now, wait a minute. He's saying seemingly two opposite statements. He's saying, I'm crucified with Christ and Christ died, but nevertheless, I live. Well, what is he talking about? He is saying that through dying to ourselves, we live because Christ is in us. When we die to self, we're not dying, we're living. When we die to self, God then has the opportunity to live through us and in us. You know, the works of the law nullify the death of Christ. But when you understand that the death of Christ was necessary and so important, that when we die with him, he then begins to live greater in us. And it's not us that are living. It's him that is living in us. Because we are crucified with Christ. You see, when he died on that old cross, we died too. We died to our sins, our flesh. We died to this old nature that desires to control us. Because you see, on the third day when he got up, let me tell you something, it brings that same kind of life into you and I when we are crucified with Christ. Amen. And here in essence is what he's saying to Peter. He's saying, Peter, don't be ashamed to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to let your Jewish friends and anyone know that you're not following their dead works of the law. You are already dead with Christ. You are already there because through his death, you live. Through him, we have real life. Amen. What a joy. You know, have you ever tried to do something in your own power? Have you ever tried to do something in your own ability? I have. And you know where it brings us? We think it brings us life, but it actually brings us death. But have you ever just died to your will and said, Lord Jesus, I die to myself. I'm crucified with you. You see, God use you in great, wonderful ways. You know, there's times, this happened twice this past month, and I won't tell you exactly all the details, but I preached two sermons not too long ago, and I believe the Lord wanted me to preach that. And before I ever preach a message, I asked the Lord, Lord, you tell me what to say. I need to know what you want. Amen. And I preached two sermons, and both of them I went home, and you don't know this, but sometimes I go home and I think, that was a real dud. You know, Brother Randy Taylor calls it a dinosaur egg. He said, I laid a dinosaur egg tonight. You know, that was a great big old pterodactyl. You know, that's what he calls it. Amen. But I don't think he does. But sometimes I felt discouraged about it. And somebody called me. I said, Dad, that was the best message I ever heard you preach. I said, if that's the best one, you're in big trouble. Amen. But you know what? There are times in our life when we just have to die to ourselves so that Christ can live through us. You know, soul winning's that way. You have to die to yourself to go so that God can live through you, so that God can work through you. I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm still alive. And the life is not our life. It's his life living in a crucified body. That's what God's saying. So he's saying to Peter here, and really in essence he's saying, Peter, get over this thing of being ashamed of Christ. Get over it. Let everybody know that you're crucified with Christ. Let everybody know that you're his. Don't be ashamed of that. Be willing to be crucified. And you know what I found? You know when somebody's dead, next time you ever see a dead body, take a thumbtack and poke them. See if they respond. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do that, okay? Funeral director will probably get mad at you, okay? But you know this about a dead body? When you poke it, it doesn't move. It doesn't even notice it. You know, and as Christians in our lives, how oftentimes we get upset or offended about something when it's really just a reminder by the Lord Jesus Christ to say, die. Die to yourself. Die to me. Die to your will. And let me live through you. Because dead people don't get upset. Dead people don't get offended. Dead people don't get mad when our will is not fulfilled. And really, I think this lesson is probably one of the ingredients that made Peter such a great apostle. Because if you read the books of 1 and 2 Peter, you're going to see a whole different man. You're going to see a man who, a crucified man. And you know, the truth is that Peter actually died a martyr's death for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he understood, I got to live a crucified life. Lord, let me die. Let you live in me. The next phrase of it says this. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And notice he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, like in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said, I'm living by faith. I'm just walking by faith. I don't necessarily know what tomorrow holds. I'm just going to live by faith. I'm going to trust God. You see, you cannot live in the flesh and live by faith. You have to die to that old flesh. And when he's talking about flesh here, he's talking about the body. We're housed in a body. This is our earthly tabernacle. It's our earthly dwelling, our earthly home. And we're in these bodies. But the real us is the us that is crucified where Christ can live in us and live through us. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he's explaining. And this is why the Apostle Paul would go from place to place, giving out the gospel boldly, giving out the gospel, because he crucified himself. And he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, I'm still alive, but I'm not alive in my flesh. There is a God who's living in me and living through me because I'm crucified with him. You know, Jesus even made this point about death is that he said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, what happens? It brings forth fruit. And you know, as Christians, if we're going to live a fruitful life for the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot avoid this principle of letting Christ live in us and us be crucified to him. We must follow the truth. The truth cannot be evaded if Christ is going to live through us. We've got to allow him to us to be dead and put on faith in Christ. You know, I don't know what I don't know a lot of things in life. The older I get, the more I know how little I know. Right? And it's not like I don't want to know more, but I'll tell you what. The older I get, the more I realize God's got this thing in his hands. God has it in his hands, and I just need to let him live through me. You know, this world is absolutely crazy. I think it could be very close. You put all the ingredients of America's liberalism and, the foolishness going on in America, and you couple that with what's going on in this world, I want to tell you something. You get some pretty scary results. And it wouldn't surprise me if we are on the brink of Jesus coming back. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But I'll tell you one thing. How do we walk through it? How do you walk through fear? I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. I'm just going to grab right onto that unchanging hand. I'm going to grab right onto him, try my best to crucify myself every day, and let him live through me. And that's our goal. That's what God is trying to accomplish with us. But you know what? When your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word, your faith is solid. It's good. It is sufficient. It is enough to carry us through. I heard a story about a little boy in Scotland. Some scientists offered this little boy a lot of money if he would allow himself to be let down by a rope over a cliff of a mountain gorge. And the boy really wanted the money. He was a poor little boy. But when he looked down and he looked over the edge at the 200-foot chasm below, he said, "No, I won't do it." But they persuaded him and pushed him, "Do this, go over the cliff." He said, "No, but if my father holds the rope, then I can go down." That's faith. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Faith in God. Do you have that faith? You know, we're supposed to live by faith, but the point that Paul is making here is we have to do something with this old flesh. We have to crucify this flesh too. We have to let this old flesh and my old will die. Let me die, Lord, so that you can live in me and through me. And while you're doing that, I'll hold on to your hand knowing that's enough. That's all I need. I just need to grab onto his unchanging, inerrant, ever-powerful hand. And no matter what comes, God will see me through. Oh, what a point. What a truth. I want God to live in me, because that's through my death is where real production comes. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. Let's pray tonight. Let's bow our heads.